Today and for the next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching on faith. And I know some of you are thinking, well, didn't you preach on faith just a few weeks ago? Well, yes, I did. But God has led me to keep preaching on faith. And if you will remember, I made a statement last time I preached on it that we could never learn too much about faith. And we live by faith. How could you learn too much about that? And in fact, I know of one preacher that preached for 40 years, and his main topic was faith. And when he came close to the end of his life, he said, I still don't know everything about faith that I need to know. Folks, faith is extremely important. To us as Christians, it is vital. Like I said, just saying, you know, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Now, let me tell you how most of us treat faith. Most of us treat faith just to overcome the calamities in life, just to get us through the emergencies in life, just to get us through those desperate times in life. Maybe you've got a child that's sick, or maybe you're sick, and you say you need your faith to get you through that. Or maybe you've lost your job, and you say, well, I need faith to get through that. Or maybe you're having car troubles, and you're saying, well, I need faith to get through that. And yes, you do. But folks, we need faith every single day. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Not just survive the calamities. Not just make it through the emergencies. We need faith every single day, in every single circumstance. We need it all day long. Let me tell you how important faith is to you if you're a believer. You need faith as much as you need oxygen. You need faith as much as you need oxygen. We don't think about it that way, do we? The just shall live by faith. What happens if you take the faith away from a just person? Well, if they're to live by faith, spiritually they're going to die. The just shall live by faith. That's one of those verses we've heard so much that we say, yeah, that's a nice little sweet verse, and we don't even think about it. But folks, that is a very deep verse. I'm only going to have about 3 points today, and we should be out of here by 2 o'clock. Somebody, Brother Carl, I asked him earlier this morning, said, are you ready? He said, well, are you ready? I said, I'm more than ready. I actually have the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. I haven't got it all completely studied out yet, but I've got enough just today to go that long, but I'm going to try to make it as brief as I can. But folks, this subject is vital. I want you to think of a time that you might have been where you couldn't get oxygen. For most of us guys, there's been a time in our life where we've had the breath knocked out of us. How much did you want oxygen right then? Wanted it really bad, didn't you? I know I was telling somebody the other day, you guys don't know my whole history, because when I was in the 6th grade and even in the 7th grade, I weighed 88 pounds and was extremely short. I was the smallest kid in the class. Even the girls whipped up on me. I've had the breath knocked out of me more times than I ever could imagine. And when you've got the breath knocked out of you, all you want is oxygen. Folks, we've had the breath knocked out of us with our faith. All we should want is faith, because the just shall live by faith. And you're saying, well, how many times is he going to say that today? Buckle your seatbelts. I'm going to say it a lot. It's that important. Now, I know that we know what faith is, but I'm going to give you a quick review of faith. Faith is complete and total dependence and reliance upon God. Complete and total dependence and reliance on God. Are you completely and totally dependent and relying on God? If not, you don't have the faith you need to have. It's a complete and total dependence and reliance upon God. Some people have to rely upon an oxygen tank to live. If you take it away, what's going to happen? They're going to die. Folks, faith is our oxygen. We are completely and totally dependent upon it and reliant upon it, and if you take it away, we will spiritually die. Another definition that I've used for faith several times is faith as being absolutely persuaded that what God said He would do, He will do. Now here's a real simple test of if you have faith or not. If you have faith, you will do what God says in His Word regardless of the circumstances. If you have faith, you're not going to go by what everybody else says. You're not going to go by what the economy says. You're not going to go by what the job market says. You're going to go by what God's Word says. You're going to be completely and totally dependent upon that and absolutely persuaded that the promises He made to you, He will fulfill, and you're going to say, okay, God, You promised me that. I'm going to do what You said and leave it up to You. Remember the Bible says to cast all of your care over on Him? That's complete and total reliance, isn't it? That's being absolutely persuaded that what He said He would do, He will do. It doesn't matter if He has to drop manna out of the sky to feed you. We need to have faith. And we need to make sure that our faith is applied correctly. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. Our text that I'm going to be using today is Mark 11:22. And I'm going to be going to some other scriptures, but that's going to be our base text. And Jesus Himself said these words. He was talking to His disciples, those that were closest to Him. And He said, have faith in God. Now, you wouldn't think Jesus would have to tell His disciples that, would you? But Jesus said, have faith in God. Folks, our faith must be in God. Our faith does not need to be in man, whoever that man is, or woman, mankind. Sometimes, whoever the man or the woman is going to fail us because they are human. Our faith needs to be in God. Don't put faith in your job. Jobs disappear about as quick as they show up anymore. You can lose your job tomorrow. I don't care how secure you think it is. Your job can be gone. And if you look at the job as your source of income, as your provision, then you don't have faith. Our faith needs to be in God, not in that job. It definitely does not need to be in the government. I mean, governments collapse all the time, don't they? We've been very fortunate that the United States has been around longer than any other nation ever has. But folks, it could be gone. It definitely does not need to be in our own ability. We are weak and feeble in our own ability. Our faith must be in God. And I want to give you just four things that our faith needs to be applied toward. Our faith needs to be in God's redemption, in His finished work of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if you go back and study what Jesus did on the cross, you'll get excited. He gave you a whole lot more than just saved you from hell. He gave you eternal life. And that word, eternal life, if you go back and study that in the Greek, it is Zoe life. And it even, if you go down into the deep root meaning, it's talking about the God kind of life. Does that mean we're going to be little gods? No, but it does mean we're going to live by faith, because everything God did, He did by faith. So we need to have faith in the finished work of the blood of the cross. We need to have faith in God's wisdom. When you have a problem, where's the first place you go? It ought to be either in prayer or to His Word. If you go to Aunt Sally to find out what you ought to do, you don't have faith. Yes, we do need to have godly counsel. The Bible tells us that we ought to have godly counsel. But the best godly counsel you can get is in the Word of God and going before God in prayer. We need to have faith in His wisdom. We need to have faith in God's power. We need to believe that He is the Almighty. The Bible tells us that nothing is impossible to God. Now let me take that a step further, and some of you may want to buckle your seatbelts right here. The Bible also says nothing is impossible to him who believes. Folks, faith is that important. Nothing is impossible with God, but nothing is also impossible to us if we believe and have our faith placed in God's ability and placed in God's power. And folks, one thing we need to understand is that our activated faith moves the hand of God. Yes, God is powerful. Yes, God is able. Yes, God is willing. And the majority of the time, God is waiting for us to act in faith so He can move on our behalf. He simply tells us all through the New Testament, you don't have because you don't ask. And the fourth thing that we need to have our faith in God, and this is a biggie. Well, they're all biggies. This is the biggie. Let me put it that way. If we need to have faith in God's love for us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, we don't use that kind of language here in Bologna, do we? John is saying, what grand and great love God has for us that we should be called the sons of God. And if you notice that word behold there at the very beginning of that verse, ought to catch our attention. Again, that's one of those words that we kind of read and we kind of skip over. But what that word behold means, it means to look. Look at the love of God. Now, that kind of implies several things. If I tell you to look at something, that implies that I've seen something. If I tell you to look at something, that implies that you have not seen something. If I tell you to look at something, that not only means that I've seen something that you haven't, it means I've seen something that you haven't that I want you to see. So when John says, behold, he's saying, stand back and really look at the love of God, and you're going to see how grand it is and how great it is. And God loves you with that kind of love. And we have to have faith in God's love for us. Now, for the next few minutes, I want you to listen to me very carefully. What we're getting ready to go into here, I could literally spend weeks on. But I thought about this and prayed about this and simplified it as much as I possibly can for the time we have today. And I really want this to sink into your heart. A lot of people think that faith is a blind leap, that I'm supposed to move forward without knowing what's going to happen. That is absolutely not true. A blind leap is not called faith, it's called stupidity. God doesn't want us to be stupid or ignorant. He wants us to be well informed. The Bible tells us that the Word, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit are there to enlighten us. Now, we use that word a lot in our English language, and let me give you a couple of examples that I think will help you see where we're going with this. Let's say that a judge was hearing a very important case, and he was listening very intently to both sides of the argument. And that somebody brings some very relevant, important evidence to the judge and presents it to him. In his closing remarks, the judge might make a statement like this: in light of the evidence that I have seen, this is my verdict. In light of the evidence. We use the terms a lot of times. I see that in a new light. Well, folks, that's what we're talking about today. The Bible enlightens us. And when we see things in the light of God's Word, then we are enlightened and we can place our faith in God and in God's Word. We have been enlightened. We see something that we did not see before. In fact, let me put it to you this way. You cannot have faith until you know what God says about a matter. You cannot have faith until you know what God says about a matter. Another way of saying that is that faith starts where the will of God is known. If you don't know God's will on something, you cannot apply your faith toward it. Let me give you a couple examples on that. And I'm going to use a hypothetical person here, and if anybody has somebody in your family named Uncle Henry, I don't know that. I'm just using Uncle Henry, okay? Is it God's will that Uncle Henry be saved? Yes. Well, how do we know it is? The Word tells us it is. That's how we know it's God's will for Uncle Henry to be saved. The Word tells us, the Bible clearly says, that God does not want any to perish, but He wants all to come to repentance. That Jesus came, and that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know all of those verses. But the only way we know that it's God's will for Uncle Henry to be saved is that the Bible clearly tells us that it's His will. If we did not know that it was God's will for Uncle Henry to be saved, then folks, we could not pray in faith for Uncle Henry to be saved. How would you apply faith to something that you don't know it's God's will? You can't. Faith starts where the will of God is known. Another example. Is it God's will that all of your needs be met? And in this case, talking about financially. Yes, it is. How do we know that? From the teaching of the Bible. He clearly says that He wants all of our needs to be met, and He even goes as far as to say, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But if we didn't know that, we couldn't apply faith when we pray toward that. Folks, that's why it is so important to find out what God's Word says about your situation so you can apply faith when you pray. So you can apply faith to that situation. You know, some people think, faith is just hoping that it turns out right. It's so much more than just hoping that it turns out right. Nothing is more real than real faith. One of the best known verses about faith is Hebrews 11:1, and I'm learning more about this verse all the time. I've known this verse ever since I was short, and folks, it's becoming more alive than it ever has. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And you say, well, right there it is. It says that it's just hoped for. Well, we've been studying hope on Wednesday nights for quite a while, and that means an earnest expectation that you already know the end result of. That word substance means it is the foundation. It is the confidence. So let's read it that way. Faith is the confident expectation of the things hoped for. So when you pray, you can add substance or faith to your prayers if you have faith. Say, well, my prayers aren't being answered. Are you adding substance to your prayers? Are you adding faith to your prayers? Have you done your homework and found out what God said about your situation so you can go in prayer in confidence? In confidence and saying, God, according to your word, this is what you said, and I'm standing on that word. Faith, folks, is reality. And if you look at the very last part of that verse, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. I'm trying to think. Other than Diana, has anybody here ever seen my mom's farm? Yeah, Bruce probably has. He used to live up in that area. So how do you know it exists? If I brought you the warranty deed and it had mom and dad's name on it and the description of the property, would that be evidence that it exists? Or do you need to go see the farm? Well, if you know anything about legalities, you would know that that warranty deed is evidence that it exists. Now catch this. This said that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. My faith, based on God's Word, is evidence that that things will happen just like they said, like God said they would happen. My faith, based on God's Word, is evidence that things will happen just like God said. Folks, again, that is not a blind leap. That's based on evidence. Based upon what God's Word says and my conviction and my confidence that God's Word is absolutely true, that I am absolutely persuaded that it's true. God's Word and your faith is the ultimate reality. You don't have to see to believe. Again, the writer of Hebrews clearly said that faith is the evidence of things not seen. In fact, nothing sees more clearly than real faith. And you see how I could spend weeks on that? We need to get a very clear picture of that. But I'm going to move on this morning. Another key to having faith, and especially having strong faith, I mean, why would we want just faith? The Bible talks about different degrees of faith. It talks about no faith, little faith, the measure of faith. It talks about great faith, and I don't know about you, but I want that great faith. And every single one of us can attain that if we'll do what the Bible tells us to get it. So a key to having strong faith is the rest of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 that we read earlier. It says, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. To have strong faith, you must know God, and you must know God extremely well. It's not just knowing about God. It's knowing God. Knowing the very heart of God. Knowing what God says and what God thinks and how God acts and how God responds to different things. It's really getting to know God, and you're not going to get to know God unless you spend time with God. When I first met Diana, I fell in love immediately. Some people say that can't happen. Oh, yes, it can. It did. It took her 2 years, but I fell in love immediately. You're right. She had more to think about than I did, right? But when I first met her, I had some faith in her. I knew she came from a Christian family. I knew her dad was and still is a preacher and a minister. I knew she seemed like a nice young lady. But I really didn't know her. And I put some faith in what she told me back then. But I'm going to be honest, I didn't put all of my faith in her back then. But I know her now. And it didn't take me all that long to really get to know her. We spent a lot of time together, talked a lot, got to know each other's heart. Folks, today my faith in her is absolute. It's absolute. I trust anything she says. I trust anything she does. I have 100% faith in her. Why is that? Because I know her. We cannot have faith in God unless we really know God. We need to spend time really getting to know God. Remember the text we said that we read? Have faith in God. Well, to have faith in God, you're going to have to get to know God. If you don't know God, then you're not going to put your 100% confidence in Him. You're not going to be absolutely persuaded. Or what if God doesn't come through? You don't know God. God's always going to come through. He cannot lie. If you ever pray and then you say, well, I sure hope that comes to pass, that's not faith. That's flipping a coin. We need to get to know God where we are absolutely persuaded that God and His Word are true. We need to get to know God. We need to get to know God's heart. We need to get to know God's mind. In fact, the Bible even says that we can have the mind of Christ if we were get in there and study and read and do all the things that we need to. We need to get to know God's character. We need to get to know His power. And we need to get to know His love. Folks, when you really get to know God, you're going to be able to put your faith completely and totally in Him. And there's going to be times in your life you have nothing else to rely on except for God. But you don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. Well, I need this or I need... No, you don't. You need God. We think we need the other things. We need God. And I'll tell you this. If you're in a situation, whatever the situation is, I'm not going to name any because everybody's got different things going on. But if you're really in a situation where you need deliverance, where you need some answers, you ought to be spending as much time as you can in the Word of God and as much time as you can in prayer, because you really need to get to know God, and you need to get to know God now. Until you get to that point, you're not going to be able to put your faith completely in Him like you should. And if you're not at that point now, you better be getting ready. I can promise you, life happens. And something will be coming along. Well, you're going to have absolute faith in God. And in closing, I want to give you a challenge. And I don't want this to sound in a negative way, but I really want us to commit to being people of faith. I want people to be able to look at the people here at Center Point and go, you know, they live by faith. You can tell that they walk by faith. You can tell that their decisions are based on the Word of God. They don't make normal decisions like everybody else makes. They don't go by just what seems reasonable. You can tell that they are people of faith. I want it to be where people can see that we are different. And there's only two things that will make that distinction. Our faith and our love. Our faith and our love. And I want to challenge you to really get to know God. To spend more time with Him in the next 30 days than you ever have. To turn off the TV and open up the Bible. Turn off the TV and turn off some good preaching. Turn off the TV and find you a good study book and study the Word of God. Turn off the TV and go pray. And pray intently and passionately and fervently. Really get to know God. You don't know, in the next 30 days, you could be in a situation like Paul and Silas were in prison. They were completely, totally dependent and reliant upon God. And God delivered them. And not just them. Daniel, Peter, Jehoshaphat, we mentioned earlier, we could give you story after story after story. The nation of Hebrew taking over the promised land. Folks, those people really knew God. We really need to get to know God. And the side benefit of that is that we get faith. And when we get faith, yes, we please God. And yes, that's very, very important. But we also get side benefits from it. We get to walk in victory. In fact, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. That's where I want to be. More than a conqueror. We get to live in victory. We get to be overcomers. We get to live the abundant life. And we win. Folks, we win. No matter what we go through, we win. And we don't have to wait till the end of the book to win. The Bible tells us that we are now overcomers. That we are now more than conquerors. That it is our faith that causes us to overcome. You're not going to need faith in heaven. It's our faith that causes us to overcome now. So I really encourage you, and I challenge you, to set a time limit for the next 30 days, 60 days, whatever you want to do, that you're going to seek God like you've never sought Him before. And the Bible says that if we will diligently seek Him, He'll reward us. He'll reward you in ways that you won't even be able to imagine. But you're going to have to do the work to get the blessing. I say work. It's really not work getting to know God. It's like it wasn't work for me to get to know Diana. I wanted to be around her. We was either on the phone or we were together all the time. We need to be either with God in His Word or with God in prayer all the time. An extended period of time to really get to know Him. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that You tell us You want us to be people of faith. You've told us how to be people of faith. And Father, You've told us that our faith is the substance, it's the foundation, it's the confidence of things that we are hoping for, earnestly expecting to happen, and that our faith is the evidence of things not seen. You have given us such great promises. And Father, those promises come true when we get to know You and get to know Your heart. And then we apply our faith the way You've told us to. I pray that You would give us a desire and a longing and a burning to spend time with You like we never have before. And help us to realize that when we make that commitment, things are going to happen. The phone's going to ring. People are going to come over. The kids are going to want to do something. That we're going to have to make the time to spend time with You. But God, help us to see that the rewards will be worth every single thing that we have to go through to get that job done. And as we corporately build our faith. Father, I just thank You for what we're going to see here at Center Point. We're going to see miracles happen like we've never seen before. We're going to see more people saved because we're able to pray for them in faith, believing that they will be saved. And we're going to see Your church grow to Your glory and to Your honor. And we give You the praise for that this morning, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.